enjoyed that beautiful song. We will rise when he calls our name. No more sorrow, no more pain. It's really good to be back in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Just want to thank Brother Daniel for taking care of the service while I was gone. Didn't have good service there where we were at, so we weren't able to watch it live, but I did watch it when I got back. So just want to thank the Lord for having a fellow minister here in the church that can help take care of the workload and so forth. We always enjoy coming to church. We enjoy ministry. It's a scary thing, but we love sharing the Word of God. And so it's just a holy thing. And so just want to thank Brother Daniel for that. And thank everybody for coming out and supporting and being at their post of duty. I want to thank the Lord for what he's provided for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're going to open the Bibles here in Hebrews chapter 8. We'll pray just a little bit, but just remember Sister Barbara Rissler. She's been in the hospital having some troubles there. Remember Sister Laura has had several deaths recently, and it's taken its toll upon her. Just pray that the Lord will strengthen her and give her the courage and the comfort that she needs. He's promised to do that, so we know that he will. And also just be praying for Aiden Wheeler. Little Aiden wants to be baptized, so I think possibly this weekend, if not this weekend, it'll be next weekend. So just remember him, that this whole experience for him would just really set the hook into his heart, that God would do something in there that would absolutely change his life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to just commit that to the Lord too. Hebrews chapter 8, we'll read the entire chapter. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, look where he's at, right? For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. On earth, that's me saying that, right? Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle on earth. Right? That's me. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord. Just so blessed to be able to read your word, to look upon these pages. And so Lord, as we've been able to do so, but we ask, God, that you, through your great Holy Spirit, would seal these things to our heart tonight. God, that you would let these pages leap off of the pages of the Bible, the words, and into our hearts, Lord, that you would just cause us just to be quickened, Lord, by that which you want to give to us tonight. We do ask, Lord, that you do this. We ask, God, that you would remember Sister Rister, Sister Laura, and little Aiden, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just brood over them. Lord, just pull those, each one of those requests up to your heart, up to your bosom, Lord, and just move upon them and have your way in each one. We just know that the benefits of Calvary are there to address each one, and so we ask, God, that you would move upon each one. And Lord, as you would just speak to us in this service tonight, remember those that are missing and bless them, Lord, as they would desire to be here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to title this tonight, Why a New Covenant? Amen? Why a New Covenant? So, you know, if you've served God for very long at all, you know that God is perfect. Yeah. You know he's perfect in everything he does. I know the scriptures say that. But if you walk with God for just a little while and you're really walking with him, you'll find out real quick that he is perfect, he makes no mistakes, he does what he said he will do, he does it on his timing, but he does exactly what he says he will do, and if you'll just wait on him, he'll bring to pass the promises that he's given. And so we know that God is perfect, and the scriptures even tell us, we didn't read it, but the scriptures actually tell us that the law of the Lord is perfect. Absolutely. Converts the soul, converts the heart of a man, and so forth. And so God is perfect. His law, the things he does is perfect. And so then that's where I want to say, well, then why a new covenant? Why did he have to come along and make a new covenant? You know, was the first one not good enough? And we know what we just read, but I will tell you the first one was good. Right? And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Why God had to had a second covenant. You know, Christianity is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. I know we come through that. We come through the stages of legalism and so forth. Every one of us do. As a matter of fact, even mature Christians still have those different things they deal with and battle with and so forth, because it's part of our walk. It's part of a daily thing. You know, being a Christian and trying to reach that place of perfection that Brother Daniel was reading on other morning, pressing toward that mark of the higher calling. Amen. And so it's just a walk. It's a daily walk, but it's a lifelong walk trying to get to that place that you want to be. Even Brother Branham, when he was laying there, you know, in the latter part of his ministry, and says, well, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better get it done, because you'll never feel like you've done sufficient for the Lord. And it should be that way, really. And so, but Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not a lodge that you join or some club that you join. And it's not traditions.
Right.
Okay? It's not traditions. We eat each day, right? Everybody eats. You can tell I eat each day. We eat each day, right? But that's not tradition.
Right.
Eating every day is not tradition.
No.
It might be for some people, you know. But eating every day, we eat every day because it's part of life.
That's right.
We have life in us. There is a hunger that comes up in us. And we eat because we are alive,
yeah.
Right? We do the things, we move our arms and we talk and do the thing because we are humans. And so Christianity is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not traditions or there's some lodge or something that you join, but it is life. There's a life that's there. That's why it's called a new birth. It's got to be something different than we came into this world with the first place, right? It's got to be something that causes us to live different than the way we did from the first birth. That's why that when we say that, we quote Brother Ram saying that God hates a powerless religion, and he does, because his whole gospel is to give you a new birth and to put a new life in you that does not chase after the things that the first life that chases after.
Right.
So Brother Branham tells us, I'll read some quotes here. Man running from the presence of the Lord. He said, Christianity is an everyday rugged life living for God in this present world, it's a constant burning of the fire and the love of God in the heart that sets you afire and puts you out yonder among the people making converts to Christ. Amen? He goes on to say in Satan's Eden, he said, I heard Brother Neville say this morning, someone might have been asking him, why didn't I preach on the Holy Ghost? Why didn't I do this? Here it is. He said, the Holy Ghost is the action in you. It's a life, not an emotion, not some sort of a fleshly evidence, but it is the person, Jesus Christ, the Word of God established in your heart to quicken every word for this age. Yeah. Right, he said, watch the Holy Ghost in action, not so much in demonstration, but in action, what it does according to the Word.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it is. And so because Satan can imitate all these other things, but there's one thing he can't do, and that's be the Word. Amen. And so Christianity is not a bunch of these other things, but it's a life that lives within us. And because there is a life, then that life does certain things. And those things might look repetitious, like coming to church when the doors are open. Christians do that, right? Amen. Christians come to church when the church doors are open, right? And so we do things like that. We pay our tithes. We pray for one another. We fellowship with one another. We do things like that. But none of those things get us there. We just do that because we are Christians. And so we live in a body and in a world that just loves to keep traditions. And because of that, it's so easy for us to fall back from this fire that's in our heart, burning, making converts for Christ. It's so easy to fall back and relax in that, into just trusting in the traditions, trusting in the fact, well, I'm in church every time, I pay my tithes, I go to fellowships, and all the things I just named that we do because we're Christians. But a person can begin to do those things, and because of tradition, and well, that's what I'm supposed to do, and be doing all that, and know that they don't have the fire burning down inside that they once had.
Right.
And so you see what I'm saying. So it's so easy to fall back to those things. And then reason says this. Reason says, well, in order to please God, you've got to do things. In order to please God, you've got to do righteous acts. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You know, Cain thought that. Cain thought, I'll please God, I'll appease God's wrath, but I'll work really hard, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And he did all of that without a revelation. He did all of that without a burning inside his heart to propel him to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you got two different things going here, two spirits in the framework of the church. And so you realize that there's a lot of works that people can try to do and to get to God, but then there's a group that's got a fire burning inside. And whether they're doing works or not, there's a fire in there.
Yes.
Amen? And of course, like I said, it makes you live that way. So we don't want to make the mistake that Cain made and just say, well, I'm going to get to God because I'm going to do things and so forth. We must remember that Satan took the head of man, the thoughts of man. He chose that when God chose the heart of man.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like I said a while ago, intellect demands, well, you got to do things, you got to do this, you got to do, because, you know, that's how you show who you are. And so, you don't ever see a semi going down the road with the trailer in front.
Right.
You always see the tractor in front pulling the trailer.
Uh-huh.
Right? If you see one opposite, there's something seriously wrong. Get out of the way because you're fixing to see something wreck up. And so that's what you see when you have people who's trying to live this Christian life and do these things without that fire burning. They're going to wreck up,
right?
God never asked us to do these things in ourselves. He asked us just to surrender, fall in love with him, and let him live through us. And so There's a quote, another quote I want to read here. Brother Branham tells us, when I said Satan took the head and God chooses the heart, Brother Branham said, see, this is united under one head. See, that same devil, if he can get you to stop just for a minute. How long? Just for a minute, right? He can make you reason it out.
Yeah.
If he can get you to stop just for 1 minute, he can make you reason it out. He can make you think with your mind. But God doesn't use a man's head, he uses his heart. God works on his heart while the devil works on his head. God chose the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Here some time ago, years ago, and you be careful when you listen to this, that you don't put it down. Okay? Here some years ago, a scientist said, well, God sure made a mistake there because there's no mental faculty in the human heart to think with. Yeah, he meant your head. But Brother Brim says, if God would have meant head, he would have said head.
Right.
But he said heart, so I believe he meant heart. Then you know, about 5 years ago, I was in Chicago and I seen a great piece in the headlines of the paper where that science has found that in the human heart, not an animal heart, but in the human heart, there is a little compartment that doesn't even have a blood cell in it. Brother Bram said it was the abiding place of the soul. So man does think with his heart after all. God was right. And we'll find out every time that God is right. He thinks with his head, but he believes with his heart. We think with our head, but we believe with our heart. Now, the devil thinks through his mind. So the devil thinks through his mind. Now, you're thinking that's the devil doing that, right? Devil thinks through his mind to show him something with his eyes, but his heart will make him believe something that would be impossible to look at. Right? Be impossible to look at because it's faith that he has in his heart. He believes with his heart for things that he can't see. And the devil turns around and takes his head and makes him scientifically prove something, and his heart turns around and denies it. Oh, if we could get away from our head knowledge or our head religion to heart religion, where God could go do work in the church. Amen? And so all these works and doing all these things I was talking about, it all stems from the fact that it's intellect, it's reason, where reason says, oh, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that, and causes people to put up walls. If you remember in the scriptures, and it was Cain's offspring, that they begin to go out, they begin to do all this, all the scientific things and all that, but they begin to build cities. And they begin to put up walls, you know, cities, you put up walls. Because they were trying to protect who they were, protect their name, protect. And you know, I've said, you know, life doesn't have to protect. Life is living, right? You can't kill life, right? You understand what I'm saying? Eternal life, you can't kill it. You can't burn it out of a person. You can't beat it out of a person. Life cannot die.
Right.
Death is life leaving. But you can't kill the person of life,
right?
That's what I'm trying to get at. You can't kill the person of life, and so you have life in you, then you're living, and you'll do things accordingly. But you have Satan come along and tries to get people to do all these things without that life, and that's the very thing Brother Branham so much hit on so hard, because he knew that if the real life of God, if the real Holy Ghost was in a person, he would change the way they walk.
That's right.
And you could see that people were not walking according to the things that the Holy Spirit would be. And so that's why he had to really show people, like he was saying in the, forget which message it is, Satan's Eden or God of this evil age. I don't remember one of those right in there. He said, you know, used to, years ago, back when they were martyring in the Dark Ages, a man, he'd make a little mistake or something like that, and it cost him his life. They'd martyr him, right? He said, but nowadays, he said, it's so deceptive because now Satan makes people think they're Christians when they're not.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so deceptive. And so, God, you know, Satan chooses the head of a man, his reasoning, and makes him go and try to try to produce works to please God and so forth. But God chose faith. God chose belief. God chose grace, not works. He chose a man's heart where he can cause a man to believe something down inside that he can never see with his eyes. Amen. So God knows that if he can just get into the heart of a man, it settles it. You take a man, and if he falls in love with a woman, I don't care what she looks like, if he ever falls in love with her, it's a done deal. Right? If it's ever in his heart, it's a done deal. And so God knows that he don't want to control you by your thinking so much, right? Not head thinking, but what's in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh, so is he. Right? How you feel inside, that's who you are. That's why you can talk to, oh, it's okay, you know, it's all right. God don't, but if you don't feel that way here, then that you're not that. You see what I'm saying? Because what you are is what you feel inside, right? And you can try to talk yourself out of it through intellect and listen to the devil and all that, but don't listen to your brain thoughts. Listen to that which is in your heart, right? Listen to that. And because that's what you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's who you are. That's what he is. So is he, right? And so God knows that man come into this world, we come into this world and we put a lot of trust in works, we put a lot of trust in traditions and that sort of thing, and that's just, that comes with the fallen nature. And so God always comes down and he'll meet us on our level, right? So he knew that man had all his trust and all these things, you know, trust in works and traditions and so forth, religious traditions. And so God came right out and met man in that capacity and gave man a law to live. Gave him a first covenant and gave him a law to live that man can't live. So God says, comes right down. It's like children of Israel when they come out and they said God wanted to be their king, and they said, we want a king like the other nations. And God said, okay, all right, I'll give you the desire of your heart. And it was a problem all along, right, to begin with, right? So God will let us have what we want. If you press him hard for, I want this, I want that, he'll let you have it, and your life will be miserable.
That's right.
Right? When you demand your way. So he comes down and he gives them a law so that man can see that he can't live it. If you look out here in the world today and you see every attempt of man to solve issues, and by the way, there are issues he caused, right? Everything they do. It sounds, I know people say these people, you know, they're nuts, but listen, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every time they try to do something good off of that tree, there's more death comes from it. It might take a few years for them to figure it out, right? I was seeing a thing where they had the total disregard for, now listen, you know, the Bible tells us, and people don't do this, but they should. You should, when you're growing crops, you should let the land rest. You should pay attention to the needs of the land and the nutrients and the things that are there. And they had a total disregard to that, and we had a dust bowl because of it. They come out of the dust bowl and come up with all these chemical fertilizers that now that you can go out there and you don't have to rotate your crops and you don't have to do this, you don't do that. Just put these chemicals on there and you can go right on growing anyway. Uh-huh. So they did that. And then one thing went to another, and the next thing you know, they, because of what they've done, there were nutrients and things that has been depleted, and so then the plants become weaker, then they generate these chemicals, say, we'll put this on there and keep the bugs off of it and do this and do that, and they generate all these things, and now they find out there's all kinds of just almost pandemic level of medical conditions in humans, all because of some of the stuff they put out there. I'd call it by name, but I'll tell you after service if you want to know. Everything they're trying to do to make something a little better, and it just produces more death, more troubles, more sorrows. And you know, since they don't know, since the world don't know, they would look at us and say, you folks are crazy. This is what we need to do. We got to do this to fix this. Not realizing it's just bringing more death. They won't admit it, But there's all kinds of death happening now because of what's happened in the last couple of years. So God meets man on his level. He come down and gave him a priesthood and he gave him a law that no man could live. So that man would understand, once you fall flat on your face enough, surely he'll wake up and say, you know what? Forget me trying to do it. I'm going to trust God. Right? So he gave us the law that we couldn't live. So we turned to God and trust in the grace of God that he provided. As I said a while ago, the law of the Lord is perfect. And it is perfect because the law of Moses, the law of the Lord, it is perfect because it did its job. It does its job very well. First of all, one of the jobs of the law was to be a shadow of the truth. Be a shadow of the truth to come. We just read it there. But one of his main things, as Brother Ram said, to the law was to be the policeman. To arrest you because you were a sinner. To arrest you and show you that you're guilty and to show you that you can't meet God's justice. You cannot come before God's court of justice and stand there and come out pretty good. You can't do it. See, no man can stand there like that. And so the law's purpose was just to arrest man, but it has no strength to get him out of jail. Right? It has no strength whatsoever. The policeman can arrest you, but he can't get you out of jail.
Right.
It takes a different power to get you out of jail. A power of forgiveness and so forth. And so the law was perfect. It is perfect. It does a great job at convicting people and telling them they're sinners. It does a great job of showing us what the true will be and is in Christ Jesus. But the reason why that the law, why he had to do another one, had to come on with another covenant, was because that law was not in their hearts. He says here in the scriptures that he would make a new covenant. And in this new covenant, he said, I will write my law in their minds and in their hearts. And I'm talking, it's not talking about this mind, intellect. But as a man thinketh in his heart, he would write in them his laws. Amen? I'll make a new covenant with them and I'll write it in their minds. I'll write it in their hearts. And we read the rest of it there where he talks about their sins and iniquities. I'll remember no more. And so that's why there was fault with the first covenant. That's why there was failure, because man couldn't keep it and they continued not in that covenant. And God knew that. So it wasn't that God made a mistake and said, oh, I made a mistake. I've got to come with a new covenant. He knew exactly what that was there for, was to bring conviction, to show them that they fall short so that they could trust in that which was true that was to come afterwards. And so he said, I'll make a new covenant with them. And that new covenant was to move it away from reasoning and from tradition and from works, move it right into the realm of faith, belief, grace, amen, into a different realm. In a realm without works, a realm with God. God forgives a man and imputes righteousness to a man without works. Amen. Into a realm where sin and its pull and its remembrance has no power upon you. The scriptures tell us that the man would have no more conscience of sin. Brother Rand was talking about that. No more pull, no more remembrance, no more conscience of sin. Now, you might remember the things you've done wrong in your mind, okay? I'm not talking about the intellect up here. I'm talking about what's in the heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. That's different. In your mind, you'll remember the things you've done wrong all your life, right? And if you play in that realm and you think in that realm and that realm was what motivates you, you're never going to have peace in your heart. But this new covenant that he writes in their hearts, it brings you into a realm of faith. It brings you out of a realm of reason in the mind into a realm of faith, into a different place, and where the pull of sin is not there. The remembrance of it is not there. The desire of it's not there. The conscience of it's not there.
Yeah.
You gotta separate the two, right? Because you'll remember it. But here's what I'm trying to get to, is that when in your heart you know there's no pull,
right,
you know you're free from it.
Yeah.
If for some reason in your heart you know that there's still a pull there, then you know you're not free. You're not comfortable. You don't have that peace.
Yeah.
Right? But regardless of what your mind up here tells you, once the peace of God hits you and strikes you, and you know that that thing has no more pull on you, it can't pull you. You might know that it's there. You might know that Satan is trying to get you to fall for it, but you know that it's really not got that pull on you no more. It's not got that control on you no more. To me, that translates more into something more than just saying there's no more pull, but now there's no more conscience. It doesn't bother me anymore. Right? It doesn't bother me. I can forget about it because I know I'm free from it. You see the difference? And that's what the new covenant was for, is to bring us into a place where we can commit the thing to God according to His program, under the grace of God, and He writes it into your heart in such a way that that thing becomes dead to you. And if you look it up, you'll see Brother Branham say it in many, many ways, but it all translates into the thing is dead. It's gone from you. And that's what it is. That's Christianity. To letting God write that law, write that Holy Ghost into our lives in such a way that the thing leaves us. That remembrance and that pull and that desire for sin is gone. And you can say, praise God. I used to be that way, but it's not there now. Amen. And that's what we can say. The remembrance will be there no more. The scripture tells us that this law of God, in Hebrews chapter 10, you'll find it says that this is written on the fleshly tables of our heart. Remember, the law was written on tables of stone? Stony hearts? Right? But this covenant is written on the fleshly tables of the heart by the Spirit of the Lord, it says right there in Hebrews chapter 10. You'll read the whole chapter, you'll see that. It's written in the fleshly tables of the heart by the Spirit of God. So we'll never come into fully overcoming life until we let the law of God live in our hearts and let that become who we are. We're living by what's inside. The scripture said He didn't come in the law of a carnal commandment, but in the power of an endless life. Right? To get to that power of an endless life living within you, and all this other stuff just is gone. This goes away. Amen. I see people do all kinds of things that's Christian type things. I see them do things that are Christian type actions, but you can tell by their fruits. And the scripture said, you know them by their fruits, right? Remember last week at harvest time, you know their fruits? You'll know them by their fruits. And so you see by their fruits that they're doing all these things, going to church and all these things or whatever. The Christians do. They're doing those things by tradition, not by conversion. Not because something's happened in their heart. And that's a bad place to be. You know, there's justification, then there's sanctification, and then there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother, I'm talking about going out into the chicken pen or whatever it was and picking up a cup. That's justification. But you can't drink out of it because it's filthy. But then now you take it and you clean it up and you set it aside for service. That's sanctification.
Right.
Compound word, right? Cleaned up and set apart. Mm-hmm. So now you've got a cup that's no longer filthy. It's clean now. You can drink out of it. But it isn't until the Holy Ghost is in there that the cup's actually being used and being drank out of. You follow me? And so you can be in a sanctified state and mistake that for the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And it not be the Holy Ghost. And it's a dangerous place to be. Okay? You don't want to stop at sanctification. Yes, you want to be pulled out of the chicken pen, out of the sin of the world. And yes, you want God to clean all the bad habits and all those things up out of your life. But we've not arrived until God puts that Holy Ghost in us. Until He writes that law in your heart. Right? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit, or promised when that happens, There's no reversing that seal of God once he gives that to you, right? Scriptures tell us that. But if just shy of that, you can fall away from sanctification.
That's right.
Right? You can fall away from justification. Brother Brandon said you can be justified without being sanctified. You can be sanctified without having the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Right? So we want to go beyond tradition, because a person can, through tradition, can live a life of sanctification but not have the fire of the Holy Ghost in there. That's the difference. And so the Holy Ghost, the scripture tells us, is given to us, says you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you've heard me say this before. Power for what? Well, first of all, the scripture said power to be a witness. Right? To be a witness. But I'll say this, power to overcome.
Amen.
And the best way you can be a witness is to be an overcomer.
That's right.
Amen? That's the best way, because your written epistle is known and read of all men, and it's better for them to see the overcoming power in your life, where you don't go after these things of the world like Brother Daniel was talking Sunday morning. We don't live like that. We have a higher standard. We have a name to stand behind that we represent. Right? And so that, you know, we don't want to live just by traditions. We want that power of the Holy Ghost to come into us and make us witnesses, make us overcomers, so we can be good witnesses for the Lord. And the Holy Ghost knows how to overcome.
Amen.
He knows how to overcome. Amen? He knows what to wear.
Right.
He knows what to say. He knows what to listen to.
Right.
He knows what to watch.
Uh-huh.
He knows where to go.
Amen.
He knows how to treat one another.
Right.
He knows how to do those things. Right? We don't without him. We don't. But with him we do. Right? With him living through us, then we live like Christians, not by tradition, but by a life that's living in us, that's been given to us, which is this new covenant he was talking about. The Holy Ghost knows how to do those things. And the Holy Ghost knows how to live, and he will always live according to his word, to the word of God. He'll never live contrary to the word of God. He'll never inspire you to, as Brother Daniel mentioned Sunday, he'll not tell you to take your clothes off or do these things.
Right.
Holy Ghost will never do that. That's why when you have those people that's doing all these things, you know something's wrong.
Amen.
Because the life they have is not living up to the word of God. The Holy Ghost doesn't need rock music.
No.
He doesn't need country music.
No.
Right? And I could go on and on and on. He doesn't need those things. He doesn't need all this stuff that the world feeds on. The Holy Ghost don't need that. And if he doesn't need those things, then we don't either.
Amen.
Right? And when those things move in and people are living and having letting those things take place in their life, and they're not offended by that, there's something wrong, because the Holy Ghost does not, the dove does not eat rotten things.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. It makes a difference. So he doesn't need those things. So the test is back to what I said a while ago. The test is back to the word. And I'll read the quote again, as Brother Brennan said. Here it is. The Holy Ghost is the action in you. It's a life, not an emotion. Not some sort of a fleshly evidence, but it is a person. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, established in your heart to quicken every word of this age. Right? Watch the Holy Ghost in action. Not so much in demonstration, but in action. Don't miss this last part. What it does according to the Word.
Amen.
How does the Holy Ghost in you respond when the preacher preaches truth? How does the Holy Ghost in you respond when a temptation is brought before you? How does he respond to that?
Yep.
Right? And that's how you know that there's something in you that's living out that word, that's quickening the very word for this hour. Listen, if you believe God sent a prophet and that this is an end time message bringing a rapture, and you really do believe that in your heart, you're pretty far down the road showing that there's something in you making you believe that. Right? Amen. And so, it's that life in you. He says, and I'm about done, he says, I will, in this new covenant, he says, in this new covenant, and I'll say it this way, in this new covenant, because it wasn't like this in the first one, but in this new covenant, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. Brother, sister, isn't that where you want to be? To know in your heart that you're free. That there's no more pull and those things aren't there. And that, that so the conscience, the bothering of it is gone. Might still remember it, see, but not there. It's gone from you. And now you got a testimony that you can tell from up here, you know. Hey, I used to do this, but praise God from your heart. See,
yes.
I'm free from those things.
Amen.
Amen. And so he says, in this new covenant, I'll remember their iniquities, their sins and iniquities no more. Because He lives in you now. As Christian, He lives in you. And when He lets go of your sin, when He forgives you of your sin, won't you know it in your heart since He lives there?
Yep.
You ever stop and think about it? That your own, as a Christian, your own heart condemn you is Him telling you?
Yes.
And that when He's happy with you, you're happy?
Amen.
Because He's speaking there from you. And you know you're in a fellowship with Him. Right? Living in you and you fellowship, and you know when He gets on to you that you feel bad, but it's because, but it's Him, but it's you. Think about that.
Yeah.
So when He lets it, lets go of it, you let go of it because it's Him in you.
Yeah.
He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yeah.
Right? There's a something about that. We always think, oh, it's me and this. How I feel or whatever like that, but if it's in agreement, if it agrees with the Word, it's the Holy Spirit. If it's contrary to the Word, it's not. Right? The prophet said that.
That's right.
So, I'll remember their sins and iniquities no more. The desire, the remembrance of it is no longer there. Like I said, you might remember it in your head, but it's not in your heart because it no longer pulls you. And then the last thing he said, everyone, you won't have to go and say, oh, brother, come and know the Lord. Oh, brother, sister, come and know the Lord. He says, you won't have to do that.
No.
In this new covenant, you won't have to do that. You won't have to say, oh, come to the house of the Lord. Why? Because you will be the house of the Lord, right?
That's right.
You won't have to come and say, oh, come and know the Lord, because all of them, we're talking about in the new covenant, right? Everybody in the new covenant. All of them in the new covenant will know Him. So nobody's going to have to come and tell you, now, sister, you got to live this way. Or brother, you got to do that.
Right.
Why? Because He's already there. You will all know the Lord.
Yeah.
And He'll tell you how to live. And the life you live will line up with the Word if it's really Him.
Right?
Right? So he will do that, and He'll come and live in you. And everyone will know Him from the least to the greatest. From a little boy or a little girl all the way to someone who's however old they are, as long as they're still here, they will all know the Lord because they all have a new birth.
Yeah.
Amen? They all have been partakers of that new covenant where the law of God, the real law, not the do's and the don'ts and all that stuff that they tried to condemn that woman that was caught in adultery, but the real law of the Lord, which is mercy and forgiveness and grace.
Amen.
That is what it is.
Amen.
Preacher, the preacher in the new covenant. You know, you come here, we kind of mentioned this before, but you come here to the house of God, and when the preacher preaches things and he preaches truth, you got issues in your life or something like that, you already know. You already know whether or not he's telling you the truth or not. You already know whether God's speaking to your heart.
Right.
You know this, right? So, in the new covenant with the Holy Ghost, you already know.
Right.
You already know that God is speaking to you and dealing with you. And so when the preacher says things, and you know it. And so if you look at that, then you say, well, then the preacher doesn't have to necessarily say it because I already know it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives there and is already telling me.
Yeah.
But the preacher comes along and he preaches that word so you can check your life and your walk, which you believe to be the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You can check that with the word.
Yeah.
And And that's why we come to church. And that's why, you know, the scripture said, you have no need that man teach you, but the Holy Ghost, he'll teach you. But yet God put teachers in the church as a ministry. Right? Why? Because it's checks and balances, right? Because you have people say, oh, I felt chills and I got the Holy Ghost, and they're doing something contrary to the word. So you still have to have that word, that standard of the word. And this word supersedes all experiences. Because if there's any experience that's different than the word, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. That's why Brother Branham so strongly, this is, we still haven't even grasped this yet, but so strongly said it's got to be back to this, because this is the thing that's not going to pass away. God means exactly what he said, and he brings it to pass. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful?
Yeah.
So, that's the thing that we want to expect in our life, to be expecting God to do these things. And he does. No doubt, he does. Each time we come here to the house of God, we probably, some portion of the sermon you've heard before. But every time you come and you look at it from a different way, to fortify that word even stronger down in your life and in your heart, to help you, that in your great hour of temptation, you're able to overcome. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here in the house of God tonight, to be able to speak about these things, Lord. To know truth, that you, in your word, said you would know the truth, and the truth would make you free. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the liberty that we have in your presence, in the presence of your word. We ask God that these things will just go right down into our hearts. Just one by one, as we would be building and building, one brick on top of another, one stone on top of another. Lord, that each of these truths would be laid away in our hearts, Lord. And so that they build something there that the enemy cannot destroy. Lord, we know it has to be by revelation, so that's what we ask, God, that you would come along behind these sermons, behind these truths, Lord, that you would quicken those to your people, so that Satan not take it away from them. Let it not be a seed that is thrown over rocky or stony ground, but let it be fertile ground. We love you, Lord. We pray that you would just be with those that are missing tonight. Go to them, Lord. Help them, Lord. Encourage them and strengthen them, Lord. And let them be back to the house of God, where they can fellowship and get strength from the other coals of fire that's here in this assembly. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity. We commit this service tonight, your people, as they go, we commit them into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
He is wonderful.
Deeper.